With me in the studio tonight is jazz drummer Jeff Hamilton. It's good to see you again.
Thanks. You too, Lee.
The last time we talked with you a year ago, you had just released Red Sparkle with your trio, and now an album with the DePaul University Jazz Ensemble, Time Passes On, was released last year, too. You're going to be on a mini-tour with them, including the Blue Wisp on May 2nd.
That's true. The DePaul University director, Bob Lark, and I have become friends. He's got a great band there at DePaul, and he invited me to play with the band for a convention, and we just locked right in. So the next idea was, why don't you send some of your original compositions and have our arrangers at DePaul arrange some of your tunes? So they did that, and we decided to do a CD. So that's Time Passes On, and it turned out very well. And then one thing leads to another. Bob says, well, would you like to go on a little tour, and would you like to do a tribute to Woody Herman? So we just recorded a tribute to Woody Herman with updated arrangements of the Chestnuts. And we're going to tour with a combination of the first CD and the Woody Herman CD that we did. And we're starting in Chicago and then Cincinnati, Blue Wisp, as you mentioned, Columbus, Ohio, Cleveland, Deerhead Inn, like New York. So it's a nice little tour, but the band is excellent.
Since Red Sparkle, have you been working on any recordings with your trio?
Well, Lee, I'm a very busy man, as you know. I have been focusing so much on my trio that 80% of my work throughout the year is with the trio. 10% is with the Clayton Hamilton Jazz Orchestra, and 10% is whatever else that I want to do that fits into the schedule. So I'm really happy with where things are right now, and I love the trio. We recorded a CD for Japanese release only for a Japanese tour, and the promoter wanted to have the CD to sell on the tour and to promote it beforehand. But he wanted to do it really quickly. We didn't have a whole lot of time, so he gave us a list of 50 tunes to choose from that he wanted us to play. And so Tamir Hendelman, the pianist, and Christoph Ludi, the bassist, which we've been together for 11 years now, took four tunes each or five tunes, and we put our own arrangement ideas with them and then got together, had a couple of rehearsals. And Takao Ishizuka, the record promoter and tour promoter, flew over. We did it live to two-track, and we finished it in like 6 hours. We were finished. We did like 13 tunes or something in 6 hours. And no mixes, no overdubbing. That's it. So he flew back to Japan with it the next day, and that's what you get. So it's the way jazz records used to be made. Another thing we've been doing with the trio is I've become good friends, I'm very proud to say, with an actor that a lot of your listeners will know, and if they don't know the name, they'll know by looking at him in diabetes commercials or Liberty Medical, you know, and that's Wilfred Brimley, who's a great actor in The Natural and Cocoon, and among many, many other great movies. He's a jazz fan, and I've known him for maybe 5 years now. He's come to jazz events. He always makes a point to come to me and tells me how much he loves the trio. So a year ago, I said, well, if you love the trio so much, I know you sing. He had done about three CDs before. I said, let us wrap around what we do, around your voice, and see what we can come up with. And he was quite excited about it, so was I. And we ended up doing a CD with him where we each did the same thing. Tamir and Christoph and I took a number of arrangements, and we brought him into the rehearsal. And that should be coming out this summer, Wilfred Brimley with the Jeff Hamilton Trio. It's fantastic. I mean, you know it's Wilfred Brimley the minute you hear him sing.
Do you have any other recordings coming out this year?
I played drums with Kristen Korb, and that's just coming out now, the vocalist and bassist, and Bruce Foreman is on that. So we're doing a short tour in May before I go to Japan with that CD.
What about your equipment? How has it changed over the years?
Your equipment is your right hand with the stick on the cymbal. And they can't really do that much to change it. Equipment-wise, you try to find things that are your sound. I'm currently co-owner of Crescent Cymbals, handmade in Istanbul, Turkey. And my partner, Michael Vosbein, who's the CEO of our corporation, and Stanton Moore is another owner with the corporation. So we designed the whole cymbal lines for Crescent Cymbals, and they're all hand-hammered, and we're very proud of the line. So they currently make my signature cymbal, the Hammer Tone series.
I'm thinking of you as a drummer physically over the years. How has that affected you physically in your joints?
Because I took another route from what I started out on, which was rudimental snare drumming and marching band, which is pretty rough drumming on your limbs, I met John Von Olen, and he was able to transform what I play into total relaxation. And if I hadn't found him to do that, then I would probably have some trouble, like some of my friends are having trouble. You know, you beat your brains out on this instrument and you don't have to. You let the stick get the sound for you, and the sound is within you. So how do you get that sound out without physically killing yourself? My physical problems have been from my own stupidity, thinking I was an athlete for many years and trying to play tennis 5 days a week for 3 hours a day and then go play a gig. So it was overuse on my right elbow, and I ended up having a ligament blown on the tennis court. And the doctor said, you don't do this playing drums. This is a major, major tear. And so he put it back together right after a Rosemary Clooney record that I did, the big band record. I remember playing that CD in pain and had the surgery after it, and I was back in 3 months. And then I thought I was a golfer, so I went out and blew the other ligament off the left elbow and had the surgery to repair that. So my athletic days are over.
Are you doing any exercising at all?
Yeah, I live by the ocean now, Lee. So I'm a block from the ocean in San Pedro, and I have 3 smooth fox terriers that demand a 2.5 mile walk at least every day. So I'm walking along the ocean every day when I'm home. And the walking is really good because I'm a pretty fast walker. So that's the exercise I'm doing now.
Talk about John Von Olen.
John Von Olen is such a unique individual, musically and otherwise. His sense of approaching things with a simple point of view is a dying art in this digital world that we live in. And, you know, I had a student who I wanted him to study with John, so I flew with him from Cincinnati. My trio was playing in Indianapolis, and I dropped him off to study with John. I said, now make a list of 20 questions and be ready for the lesson, because John won't offer a lot. You have to come in with what you want to learn. So he said, what do you think about when you're playing time? And Von Olen said, well, I think about where and when the stick is going to hit the cymbal. Says, okay, well, what's the next question? So what do you think about when you're soloing? Well, I'd have to say, I think about when and where the stick is going to hit the cymbal. So naturally, after about the 4th or 5th question, he realized that was going to be the answer for everything. And that was where John's focus is. Everything you do is that comes from that. And if that's not happening on the ride cymbal, nothing else is going to. So you see him staring at the ride cymbal when he's playing the drums. And, you know, that's what you're thinking is. And what I do too, learn from him, is that you got to think of that time on the ride cymbal every time you're playing. You know, that's the most important thing. So I think the music world has slept on John Von Olen's importance in what he's contributed to this art form. And I would encourage everybody to get down to Wednesday night Blue Wisp Big Band night and see him play. And he's playing, 4 and 5 nights a week around Cincinnati. So go see this guy. He's the main influence on why I play the way I play.
Have you passed that along to your students?
Absolutely. And I do, and I give him credit. You know, they say, well, your stroke is, I say, no, it's not my stroke. People have wanted me to do an instructional DVD on how I play the ride cymbal. I said, I can't. That's John Von Olen's. It's not my idea. And I also learned from him to serve the music at all times. You have to take yourself out of any ego in the music, or that guy's playing faster than I am, or he's louder, and you take that. You just serve the music. And he was coming a lot from Mel Lewis mentally, who said, I like to be a sofa that the band can sit on while they play. So when you have that kind of mental image in mind while you're playing, it's pretty easy to be relaxed. The thing to remember is not to let them lay on the sofa. They can sit on the sofa. So you got to be a spring once in a while that'll poke up through the cushion perhaps, but be a sturdy, comfortable sofa that the band can sit on. And then the audience is going to listen to you in a comfortable way. They're not going to be nervous and jumping around. They're going to enjoy the music more because they're getting what you're trying to play.
So after Japan, what are you going to be doing the rest of the year?
Well, I have the Port Townsend workshop that I do. John Clayton is the director of that. And the 4 instructors this year I'm so excited about. Matt Wilson, the great young drummer who was a student of mine when he was at Wichita State, and I went through there and gave him a lesson, and he's one of my favorite musicians. Not drummers. I gotta surpass that title with him. He's one of my favorite musicians. We've done a couple of duo concerts, and there are a lot of people who play horns and pianos that I can't connect with as musically as I do with Matt Wilson. It's phenomenal. I love Matt Wilson's playing, and personally, he's like a little brother to me. Joe LaBarbera, who's one of my favorite drummers and has been for years. We have lunch every 6 weeks with Ed Shaughnessy and Frank Capp and Paul Kreibich, and you know, we all tell war stories and lies to each other, and it's a learning experience for me. But Joe is one of my dear friends and great drummers. And then Gary Hobbs, the Kenton drummer, who's also a Von Ohlenite. And the four of us will be teaching the drum class at Port Townsend. So I'm looking forward to that. I turned 60 in August. So there are a couple of events that are commemorating that, if I make it. And then August 8th through 11th is a reunion with Monty Alexander and John Clayton at Jazz Alley in Seattle. So those are just some of the things coming up. I'm going to Europe again in October. We just got back from a European tour, started in Stockholm. This is my trio, Stockholm, Slovakia, Amsterdam, Dusseldorf, 3 days in Switzerland, Lucerne, Ascona, and Zurich. I go back to Bern, Switzerland with the trio in October. We're also doing the Playboy Festival, celebrating Quincy Jones turning 80 this year. And he asked for the Clayton Hamilton Jazz Orchestra to be part of the Playboy Festival to commemorate that. So Hubert Laws and Patty Austin will be guests with us in the middle of June with that. And I think the Clayton Hamilton Jazz Orchestra is going to be able to pull together a recording the end of June. We're overdue for a recording, so I think we're going to do that before the trio goes out to Colorado in July. I mean, it's just like bouncing from one group to the other, so it's kind of fun.
Well, thanks for coming in.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure, Lee.
If you'd like to see Jeff Hamilton at the drums, you can catch him a rare appearance at the Blue Wish Jazz Club on Thursday, May 2nd with the DePaul University Jazz Ensemble. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Lee Hay.